As we watch world events unfold and fulfill Scripture, it's hard to believe anyone could doubt God and His Word are real. And yet there are so many who either question or completely refuse to believe it. The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that hits the doubt head-on with evidence that proves God is real and His Word is the ultimate authority. Watch it anytime and invite others to watch with you. Just visit stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
A pet swan named Pooh.
Yeah.
Now, that's remarkable.
Get out of here.
Wait, a chicken has an earlobe?
The color of the earlobe?
Well, how else are they going to wear earrings?
That's why, you know, you never saw Dick Clark and Fidel Castro at the same time either.
Everybody, welcome to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. According to my phone, it's April 24th, 2026.
I confirm that.
You mentioned 2026.
Yeah.
In 3,024 years from now, things are going to be really, really good or really, really bad. It's 50-50. It's 50-50.
Bada boom. Yep. We got it. I'm Tim Wildman with Tony Battagliano. Good morning, Brother Tony.
Good morning.
And your dad Ed's out, and he said, counting on you, son.
Yeah. Don't disappoint me, son.
Don't disappoint me. Tony's filling in for Ed and J.J. Jasper. How you doing, Brother J.J.?
I'm doing good. A woman called for an ambulance. Operator said, how may I help? She said, I stumped my toe against the coffee table, and it hurt really, really bad. Operator, and you want to call an ambulance for that? Oh, no. The ambulance is for my husband. He shouldn't have laughed.
You said ambulance without a B?
Oh, did,
yeah,
did I?
Yeah, you didn't use a B. I didn't know if that's a Kentucky thing.
I think it might be Kentucky or Southern.
All right, everybody, welcome to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Tony, at this point, I'm going to say, also known as, and you and JJ's.
Yes.
Also known as
Learning University.
Hey, University.
I cannot mess that up again. My wife got on me about that. She was like, you didn't even know when to say it. She was like, you don't deserve to be on there.
Always the encourager, isn't it? Wives are always the encourager. All right, so here's the deal, as JJ would say. We have an 8-week waiting period between callers. So if you haven't been on the air with us in 8 weeks, you're eligible to call in. Or first-time callers. We welcome first-time callers. I'm going to give you the phone number now to call in and ask or answer. I know we haven't asked our questions yet, but we will in just a minute. To get in line to be on the air with us, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 for Trivia Friday. You can call in and ask or answer. We prefer that you do both. Also, I had Josh, Josh, Mary Alice, and Abby drop by earlier today.
Okay.
They're from Salem, Illinois, and they're on their way down to New Orleans. So they stopped by to see us here in Tupelo.
Awesome.
And see the studios and greet some of our folks, and we're always welcome. We always are glad to welcome listeners from around the country who, many of them in the spring, summer, they travel, and they can stop by here in Tupelo, Mississippi, and say hello to us. All right, JJ, what else we got to tell folks about?
Well, we're each going to offer up 3 questions. Out of these original 9 questions, one is the mystery question. If you happen to land on it and answer it correctly, you'll hear this sound.
Yes,
the blood cowbell.
Beautiful.
That means that you win yourself a brand new design Learning University T-shirt. Those of you that are watching online, Tim is holding this up. This really is great looking. It's got a crest like you would see in an Ivy League college, different things on the crest that tie in with the show. And if you don't win one today, you can go to our store and purchase a shirt. We've got books and
If they want to buy a Learning University T-shirt, how much is it and where they go? Do you even know this answer?
No, sir. I do not know.
Okay. Tony's going to find out.
Yeah, I got you. They can go to
it's store.afa.net, yep. But I'm not sure about the price.
Resources.afa.net.
Yeah, we might want to get that, you know, memorized.
Right.
Some year.
What? How much is it, Brent, this T-shirt?
I'll have to check, but I think it's $18.50.
I got it. So you go to resources.afa.net, and the T-shirt is, well, it's going to make me.
We got two different sizes.
We got a few different sizes.
Average person and big old boy size.
All the way to 3X, it looks like.
Oh, do we now? Okay.
So, starting at 15.
Learning University T-shirts are available now. Brand new ones, and check it out. But anyway, that's if you get the trivia question,
right.
If you get the mystery question right, we will ask.
You're going to win that.
That's right. Amen, brother. All right, what do you got, Tony? Bring it.
All right, my three questions. The first one is from my daughter. She always like to take a question from her.
Okay.
She's an avid listener of
Where did God come from?
Yeah. she brings it down a little bit.
Okay, that's the first.
A little lower than
that. That's a five-year-old question.
Yeah. So this question's from her. What was John F. Kennedy's middle name? My next question, what type of wood was Noah's Ark made of?
Okay.
Good question.
And the third question I have is, what famous structure was originally intended to be a temporary installation for the 1989 World's Fair?
Good question.
Wait, now ask that again now?
Yeah, what famous structure was originally intended to be just a temporary installation for the 1889 World's Fair?
1889. Is it still around today, may I ask?
I don't know. Is that giving a...
Oh, that be giving up too much? Okay.
Giving up a hint.
Okay,
there.
All right.
Maybe later if no one gets it.
1889. My grandparents and my parents drove from Mississippi to New York City for the 1964 World... I think it was 64 World's Fair.
Wow.
Yeah. And we have those... You know those... are they 16 millimeter... You know the old vintage, early
9mm. I think
was it 9mm? My dad bought one. We all seen those.
The movies, yeah.
If you grew up in the '50s, they were big in the '60s. You got those movies. No sound, obviously.
Right. I think it's 9mm.
Look, our AFS team is listening, and their heads are exploding right now.
Here's the deal. I get ammo and photography mixed up. So when I say 9mm, that could be something to do with somebody who's carrying and got a permit or not, or it could be a photographer in the '50s.
Photographer.
Hey, so they went to the
World's Fair in New York City. They drove all the way up there.
While we're telling these claims to fame, you've mentioned it a few times, but not everybody heard it. You had like an uncle who went to the Olympics.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't my blood. It's my wife's.
That's close enough. You are one flesh.
Well, that's true.
That's right.
That's a claim
he won a
to
gold
fame.
Medal in the 1936 Olympics. My wife's great uncle did.
Wow.
And then his son won in the 19, won a silver in the 19. But that was Jesse Owens Olympics.
Yeah. Wow.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I married into that family.
That's right. Tony, what have you done with your life?
What athletic prowess do you bring forth,
hey,
Tony?
I beat Tim Tim always does that to me when I've talked about famous relatives.
I started a couple of high school basketball games.
I started a couple. All right. All right, go ahead. What do you got, JJ, lined up for us here this morning?
Here's what I've got. First question for those of you that read the comics, talking about the funny papers and the newspaper. What is Dagwood Bumstead's dog's name? You remember Dagwood and Blondie, right?
Yeah, you got a date with who, honey?
The Dagwood Bumstead.
Oh, Dagwood Bumstead. Oh, he's coming by Friday night, is he? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be a real winner.
Yeah.
Dagwood. So
if this
Bumstead
goes anywhere, you're going to be Miss Bumstead, don't you? For the rest of your life.
So what is Dagwood Bumstead's dog's name? That's what I'm looking for.
Okay, all right.
Second question. Every single one of us should know this,
but
I'm guessing almost nobody does. How far is it from the free throw line to the backboard in basketball? How far is it from standing at the free throw line, you're shooting hoops, how far is it? Multiple choice. Is it A, 10 feet, B, 15 feet or C, 20 feet.
Well, look, if you're Shaquille O'Neal, it's just too far. too far, not close enough.
Just lean because over.
He never hit a free throw, did he?
Oh, yeah. That's right. So,
hack a Shaq.
Third question, true or false?
True or false.
In 1880, an English landlord named Charles Boycott was evicting Irish tenants during a severe economic crisis.
Okay.
Instead of violence, the entire community refused to sell him anything or provide services, and as a result, Boycott was forced to leave Ireland, and to this day, they use his name to define that peaceful protest. Is that true or false?
Can you read that chapter again?
I can. I was going to say that this first one was going to be long and the rest will be short, but here's the thing. A mean, nasty landlord from England and Ireland started evicting people during a terrible economic crisis. Yeah. The town, they wouldn't sell him anything at the country store, the blacksmith. Nobody would sell him anything or provide him any services. He had to leave. To this day, when people say, I'm going to boycott, it's taken from that person, Charles Boycott. True or false? It might be all the way made up.
Wow.
Or it might
would
be true.
Be very elaborate.
I got to tell you, JJ, that's the most well-researched question you've ever had.
Thank
that
you.
I can remember.
Thank you for your honesty.
I think he deserves a hand.
Thank you,
Tony.
Thank you.
No. Now, if you need some oxygen,
now look.
Next time, when you're reading that question, we can provide it.
Tony hasn't been on this program enough times to know. When I make these up, I'll throw a date in there, and I'll throw something about the color of the thing. But it's all just made out of whole cloth.
Here are my three questions. What Swedish word is used to describe a big spread of food? Okay. Everybody got that? Number two, what are the two most common or numerous trees in the United States? What are the two most common or numerous trees in the U.S.? Now, I'm talking about coast to coast now. I'm not talking about in your backyard. So think. Have an open mind here, broader spectrum.
Okay. Yeah, you Texans need to just forget about mesquite. That ain't going to fly going from Maine to California,
no,
Redwood.
You're right.
So get mesquite out of your vocabulary for today's show.
But it's good for barbecue, right? All right, now listen, this is a question that kind of like JJ's. I made fun of him, but this is kind of lengthy, but you got to pay attention to this question, okay? And this is for this is also for a shirt.
Oh, wow.
Or a T-shirt.
More than just the mystery.
This is two opportunities today.
That's right. This is not easy. All right, here we go. A 10-foot rope ladder hangs over the side of a boat with the bottom rung on the surface of the water. The rungs are 1 foot apart, and the tide goes up at a rate of 6 inches per hour. How long will it be until the three rungs are covered?
You better read that again a little more slowly.
Well, we do have...
Because people are still thinking what life's going to be like 50-50.
This is kind of unfair. That's why I'm giving the T-shirt in terms of difficulty. A 10-foot rope ladder hangs over the side of a boat with the bottom rung on the surface of the water.
We've got that part.
The rungs are 1 foot apart, and the tide goes up at the rate of 6 inches per hour. How long will it be until three rungs are covered?
That's the first line in a Pink Floyd song.
Is that Dark Side of the Moon?
Yes, but a lot of people, there's more about the tide, the moon causing the tide.
I'll read it one more time real quickly. A 10-foot rope ladder hangs over the side of a boat with the bottom rung on the surface of the water. The rungs are 1 foot apart, and the tide goes up at the rate of 6 inches per hour.
Okay.
How long will it be until three rungs are covered?
Oh, our math folks have got
that. All right, let's go to the phones. We got Haywood in Mississippi up first. Haywood, good morning to you.
And good morning to you, professors. It's been a long 8 weeks.
Appreciate you being patient, and we have full confidence you're going to answer one of our questions there. Which one do you want to take a shot at there, Haywood?
I'll take the biblical question about the ark.
Here we go.
Absolutely. So what type of wood was Noah's ark made of?
There's a little animal called the gopher.
Yes, sir.
Nicely done.
So it was made out of an animal?
Well, not an animal, but it was referred to as gopher wood or gopher.
But he said a little animal.
Right. Gopher wood.
Well, I think he was
No, we don't do that. Tony, you're going to learn.
I'm going to learn today.
We need an exact answer. Well, we don't need a little animal answer.
Well, you know what? I'm going to give it to him anyway.
Oh, are you? Okay, Tony.
So, Mr. Haywood.
Tony.
Way to start us out, Haywood.
Good job, sir. You have a question for us?
I did, and I'm going to keep it with a small animal.
There you go.
Okay.
Hey, have a good one.
We're not letting him go yet.
Right.
Go ahead.
In 2000, this is true or false?
All right, true or false.
In 2019, the Iranian Special Secret Service arrested 29 squirrels in Tehran near the U.S. Embassy. Is that true or false?
Okay. Now, pronounce Iran and Tehran again, if you would. Sorry, I didn't catch that. I mean, do the whole thing again.
Right. In 2019, the Iranian Special Police arrested 29 squirrels near the U.S. Embassy in Tehran. Is that true or false?
I'm going to say it's true just because it's so bizarre.
I'm going to say it's true.
I don't know how you arrest squirrels, but I'm just going to say it's true.
I mean,
what were they on, crystal meth, or what were they taking that day out arresting squirrels?
Well, it is true, and the special police in Tehran suspected them of having microphones implanted by the United States Embassy or the CIA.
They were on drugs.
And they really did arrest 29 squirrels.
Well, unfortunately for the Iranian Special Police, the squirrels also had pagers on them, so it was...
that didn't turn out really well. It's hard to buy... little tiny handcuffs, but you can get about anything on Amazon.
Hey, what, are you serious?
I am serious. I was listening to a documentary about strange things about Iran, because, of course, it's in the news every day.
Right,
and that was one of the things they revealed.
That's crazy.
I wonder
that's
if
good. Hey, great question.
You know those little boats they got out going now?
Right.
Out there in the Strait of Hormuz? I wonder if those are little squirrels. I mean, really?
I can tell you they're nuts. I can throw that out there.
Hey, we're good to hear from you again, my friend.
Thank you
for starting us off.
So.
I'm going to be thinking about that all day.
He's serious.
I looked it up confirm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. You're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Here we go. Tony, also known as
Learning University.
It wasn't exactly stereo, but we'll get there. Before the end of the show. All right, Tony, who's up next, and what state are they calling from?
Next up, we have Ken from Michigan.
Michigander. Hey, Ken, how you doing, brother?
Good. How you doing, Tim, Tony, and JJ?
Hey, Ken, before we get too far into our conversation, a lady said, when I say I feel like Barbie, I mean, my hip is making a clicking sound.
I don't talk to Barbie much anymore. She's got everything through the divorce. So I don't know.
Oh, well. Ken. Oh, man.
Yeah,
Ken,
I can't
sorry
hardly
to hear
see
that.
The name Ken.
Oh,
without
I got
thinking
you.
About
I'm seeing
Barbie.
It now, Ken. He's never heard Barbie jokes before.
Hey, Ken, ask, never. Answer, or do both in your deep baritone, your deep bass voice.
I would like to do both, but first I'd like to ask Tim a quick question about some popcorn. Tim, I sent you some Detroit mix. It had caramel corn and cheese popcorn mixed together. Did you get that?
Yes, sir. Did I not? Right. I should have written you a thank you note. I'm sorry. I also
had some pretzel sticks in there as well.
Yeah, I put those out in the break room, I think. We had one person go to the hospital.
As a result. But don't you lose any sleep over that,
I
went, Ken.
Well, you know, Ken, you can't pay attention all the time to what you're putting
in. Were they poked their eye out or something?
No, Ken, thank you. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. But what town in Michigan do you live?
I still live in Sparta.
Sparta, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's great.
That's a good name.
Yeah. Michigan State Spartans.
Right, you know? Right. And I'm surprised nobody has an NFL draft question from our original nine with what's happening in Pittsburgh with you guys being serious football fan. Well,
not a big NFL guy, but
are you not?
No, but
All right, Ken, ask, answer, or both, my friend.
I would like to answer Tony's question about President Kennedy, please.
Here we go.
Yes, sir. What was John F. Kennedy's middle name?
That would be Fitzgerald.
That's correct.
Fitzgerald.
Nicely done.
That's correct. That's my daughter's question. It got answered.
John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
That was a good question.
All right. You know, hey, for a T-shirt, Ken, and this is not too hard, but I'm going to send you a T-shirt in reciprocation for your gifts to me earlier. I want to ask you, what was Franklin Roosevelt's middle name?
Delanor.
That's correct.
Nicely done. Franklin Delanor. D. Roosevelt.
Franklin D. Roosevelt, Delanor. So make sure we get Ken's address, and we'll send him a... How big a boy are you, Ken?
I'm sorry?
How big a boy are you?
About shirt size.
About six.
We lost Ken. Something happened.
Well, I shouldn't be asking personal questions like that.
See, he's offended.
He got upset. And he was about to, I think he was saying he's 6'3" or something like that. Huh?
If Ken can send us an email at comments@afr.net, I can email with him and get his address to send him the shirt.
Yeah.
You can dialogue with him?
Yes.
We'll get him taken care of. Miss Cindy
got him.
Says she's got him.
Oh, we got a fish back on the hook?
Yes.
Well, is Ken there?
No, she just hijacked it. That's what that clicking sound was.
Here we go. Well, that's not normal that we get somebody back on that quick. Ken, you there?
Yeah.
What size T-shirt you want? AFR... Trivia Friday's T-shirt we're going to send your way. What size you want?
3X, please.
Good.
All right. We got it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Ken. God bless you, brother.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you, from the great state of Michigan there. You're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Tim, Tony, and JJ, we're going to go ahead and take our break. Instead of getting into another call and then having to put them on hold.
Right.
We're going to go to our break, come back, and get back to the phones. We got... Amy in Tennessee, Aaron in Mississippi. We got Jamie in Ohio. Michael's in Ohio. Jason's in Oklahoma. So we really are American Family Radio. And we're going to get back to all the calls and have some more fun and edumacation in about 3 or 4 minutes here. So stay with us.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Back during World War II, there was a prisoner of war camp along the River Kwai. Men were carried there following their capture. In this camp, there were forced labor, a handful of rice a day to live on, disease, starvation, hopelessness, and death. Trapped in this situation, the prisoners forgot their humanness and became more animal than human. They became selfish, stealing from their comrades' food and belongings. After one died, the others would jump like vultures to get the dead man's meager valuables. This went on for some time. Then, one day, a man was left to die. A fellow prisoner found him and, for some unexplained reason, began to care for him. He dressed the diseased body as best he could, even shared with the man some of his food. When asked why he did it, he said he wasn't sure, except that he thought that somewhere in the Bible it said that this was what one should do. Soon his act of kindness spread around the camp. It was followed by another, and then another. Before long, the camp had been changed from a hell on earth to a camp of help and hope. Selfishness was replaced by selflessness. Greed was replaced by gratitude. And stealing was replaced by sharing. The gradual transformation came to a high climax one day. A group of men at work as a detachment had finished their day's work and were preparing to return to their quarters. When the guard counted the shovels which the men had been working with, he counted one too few. He faced the men and demanded to know who had hidden it. No one spoke. He again demanded that the one who had hidden the shovel step forward. No one moved. He then drew his gun and shouted that he would kill the whole detachment if the guilty one did not step forward. The men sensed that he meant it. Soon one soldier stepped forward, saying that he had taken the shovel. The guard beat him and kicked him. The soldier was released from the pain through death long before the guard stopped beating. It was an incident which, if it had happened just a short time before, would have ended with a whole detachment being killed. But because of the transformation of the camp by the kind deed of one man, all the others lived. We are surprised how far one kind deed will go toward healing the wounds of sickness, both physical and spiritual. Our Creator made us to respond to love with love. It is something that our society could use at this time, this expression of love. How powerful is the power of love? Well, when they returned to the camp, the guard counted the shovels again. There were none missing. He had miscounted before. The man had not taken the shovel. He had lied for love. And still somebody says the Galilean's way is out of date.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. James 1:12.
This is Ed McMahon along with Tommy Newsom and the NBC Orchestra inviting you to join Johnny and his guests, Dolly Parton, comedian Mark Schiff, and from It's a Different World, Kadeem Hardison. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
That take you back, JJ?
That sure does. People remember that theme song and having Ed McMahon and, yep, and Johnny. I looked out, I pulled the curtains back, looked out for many years to see if Ed McMahon was going to come with one of those big cardboard checks to our house.
Here's Johnny. All right, back to the phones. Let's see. Where is Ken in Michigan, bless his heart. I tried to run him off before he had asked her
a couple of times.
Yeah, tried to run him off.
I apologize. Ken, go ahead with your
question. Must be a little.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I must be a little long-winded or something. I just ran out of time.
Yeah, that was in basketball. We would say that's my bad, Ken. Threw an errant pass, and you never had a chance to shoot. So go ahead.
What sea creature can change its gender?
That is a seahorse, ladies and gentlemen. Pretty remarkable.
Yep.
Ken, is that true? Seahorse?
No, I'm sorry.
JJ?
I thought I'd...
he just jumped right in and right, whoop, whoop.
No, I just...
I was with them for... that's right now. I'm like, JJ. Jumping right in.
I think I'm going to go the red snail. Ken?
I don't think so, Tim.
Okay. Well, what is it?
The flounder. Can't figure out what's
one of those lobsters or shrimps or something, maybe. No, I thought it was the seahorse for sure.
Ken,
enlighten
what is
us, Ken.
Well, the answer is, and I got this off the internet, so it's got to be true.
Yeah,
it's the oyster.
The oyster.
The oyster.
Why don't you read that little paragraph for us there, Ken, where you got this info here? I need some more documentation on the oyster because I've ate those a few times and I'm not going to eat them anymore if they change.
Well, I did. I also heard about the seahorse. They can have babies and all that. But
yeah, maybe that's what I heard. A male seahorse can have babies.
Yeah, just wrong.
They're a little ahead of their time in terms of this wokeness.
It's a freak of nature.
Okay. Yeah, he's the internet is right.
Read it for us, Tony.
Oysters are sequential hermaphrodites, commonly starting life as male and transitioning to female as they mature. So,
well. All right, Ken. Thanks.
Anyways,
bye.
Thanks,
see you, buddy.
Ken.
Yeah. Well,
that's probably not going to be the theme for VBS this summer.
No, I don't think so.
any kind of charts around the country.
All right, let's go. Tony, what's your questions? Let's repeat your questions quickly.
So, two of my questions have been answered. So I'm going to add in two more since we have so much time left.
No, you add in one more.
One more. Okay.
You need to listen to the show more. Because we have three.
Number three.
Yeah.
Or my next question. What famous structure was originally intended to be a temporary installation for the 1889 World's Fair?
Okay.
And my next question, I'm gonna call an audible and go with this one.
Okay.
Bananas are radioactive. Is that true or false?
Oh, that's good. That's good, having a true or false question. Here's what I've got.
I hope not.
Dagwood Bumstead.
Uh-huh.
What was his dog's name? Yeah. Dagwood Bumstead. We're talking about the comic. Second question, how far is the free throw line from the backboard in basketball? Multiple choice. Is it A, 10 feet, B, 15 feet, or C, 20 feet? And then third question, true or false, in 1880, an English landlord, mean and nasty, evicting these Irish folks in a terrible economic crisis. So the whole town started refusing him services or goods. They wouldn't sell him food. They wouldn't do anything. The whole community, he had to leave Ireland, went back. To this day, when people do that and say they're boycotting, it comes from that story and that man, Charles Boycott. Is that true or false?
All right. If you got a big, what Swedish word is used to describe a big spread of food? All right. Everybody got that one?
A Swedish chef would say,
they would say what?
Swedish chef.
You know, I don't know a lot about Sweden, but their flag's a big plus.
Yeah, it is. It is, JJ. All right, what are the two most numerous trees in the continental United States? All right, the two most numerous or common trees coast to coast in the U.S. And number three, here we go. I'm going to try this a few more minutes, and then I may give it the answer and move on. All right, a 10-foot rope ladder hangs over the side of a boat, with the bottom rung on the surface of the water. The rungs are 1 foot apart, and the tide goes up at the rate of 6 inches per hour. How long will it be until three rungs are covered? Okay. Mm. If I said that again, I mean, I can't do that again. I don't feel the need to.
Yeah.
So if you didn't get
it. Kind of makes your head hurt. And a lot of people can identify because five out of four people have trouble with fractions.
That's true.
Five out of four people do?
Yes. So math sort of makes people.
Except for college. I was on the 5-year program. You know, it's normally a four year. But I wanted to make sure I got everything covered.
Just to be sure. Sometimes you just got to be sure.
You got to be sure. Certain. I was on the 5-year plan. My dad said, I ain't paying for six. So you better wrap it up in five. And that's being generous. But he was a good dad overall.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Great dad.
Yeah.
But he didn't want to just keep paying.
He wasn't going to. I'd have to take out student loans, which I'd still be paying for today.
Yes, you would.
But, you know, Biden almost got them removed.
Right. I've got a daughter, Maddie, getting married next month. My part, everybody's doing all the heavy lifting, flowers, scheduling. I just keep my wallet. I just keep it open and
keep it open.
And I'm thinking about this. You guys can coach me. I think I'm just going to go ahead and get my credit card and put it on a lanyard. You know how you see when people go to festivals and everything? They got a lanyard.
Credit card on a lanyard.
I think I'm going to put my credit card on a lanyard because everybody keeps coming around and going, hey, Dad, hey, Dad.
Badge things so it just extends out. You know what they're
doing? Yes. Let's cut to the chase. Here's the card.
Yeah.
All right, JJ, who's on phone?
Oh, on the phone, we got Amy from Tennessee. Hello, Amy.
Good morning. How are y'all?
We're doing well. What part of Tennessee?
I'm in Northwest Tennessee. I'm actually in Milan today on my mail route.
Oh, good for you.
We love mail carriers.
Yes, we do.
And that was our little AFR history. Fun fact, Jackson Milan was our very first station to cause us to be a network. We had one, and that was our first one that we added, okay. Jackson Milan.
Yes, so sir.
You guys have been listening since early 90s.
Right. Yes, 88.7 every day, all day.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for what you do as giving out the mail. Hey, Amy, ask, answer, or do both, dear?
I'd like to do both.
Which one you want to answer?
I think I'm going to go for the free throw question.
Here it is. It's multiple choice. How far is the free throw line from the backboard in basketball? Is it 10 feet, 15 feet, or 20 feet?
I'm going to go with 15.
Hey! Way to go!
No way.
Oh, yeah, Amy. Yeah. You won you a T-shirt, a Learning University T-shirt. Yeah, we just know, you know, when we get through with this call, Cindy will get your, you know, ask you what size you want, and we will get Learning University T-shirt in the mail to you.
Is it safe for us to send it in the mail, Amy?
I think she'll make sure it gets where it needs to go.
Yeah.
It may stall in Memphis for a minute, but I'll be sure to get it.
It'll stall in Memphis.
Stall in Memphis for sure.
Memphis is where mail goes to die.
Yes,
I'm sorry to say. I'm sure there are some fine people that work there. But,
there are, just like Amy. She's there, but she knows that Memphis is the Bermuda Triangle of
mail.
Of postal.
Yeah.
All
but
things
postal. She can only deliver what's delivered
to her, right?
Right.
Yeah, hey, congratulations.
And I say it daily.
Amy,
I say it daily.
You play little high school hoops. Tell us about it. Did you play basketball, volleyball? What? How did you know that?
I actually was very clumsy as a child. I had the height, but I just couldn't get the hand-eye coordination together, running and dribbling. It just wasn't my thing. But I love watching it.
Yeah. Good.
But you can put that mail in the mailbox fast, can't you? I bet you can.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
So you've adapted, adjusted. Anyway, we'll get that in the.
I'm taking up too much time here, but I'm just real curious. So, Amy, have you got one of those Jeeps with a steering wheel on the wrong side of the road, or have you jerry-rigged one and you got you a couple of fan belts going over there where you can drive from the wrong side? No, look, I've seen those. So you got it.
Well, right now I'm in a loner. My male Jeep went down, but yes, I'm a rural route, so I had one modified, which means I had two steering wheels.
It was either
connected,
that
with like a lawnmower belt, I guess you would say.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And pedals on the side.
What?
Yes.
Yeah. See, I've seen them. I'm telling you, she just you get you a 67 Ford Galaxy, and you get the fan belt off of there, and you got one pulley and another pulley. And two steering wheels. It's homemade and it's rigged. And anybody who's ever jerry-rigged something, they're proud of being able to put that steering wheel on the wrong side of the vehicle.
You know, that sounds safe.
Well, it's either that or you get five squirrels or five Iranian squirrels to help you out.
That's right.
Specialized.
That's right.
Bada boom.
Hey, you know, you can buy Jeeps with the steering wheel on the wrong side, but then after you get some miles on them, you can't give them away. The only people that buy it is
Okay, but I didn't know that.
But you can't drive to England, right?
No, that's right.
Huh? So Amy, they're going to be useless unless you're a mail carrier.
Amy, congratulations.
You understand what I'm saying?
I do. What's your question for us?
Well, the question I had is, who was Jesus talking to when he stated the words that are mentioned in John 3:16, how you need to be born again?
Who was Jesus talking to? Nicodemus. Mm-hmm. Who came to him in the night.
That's right.
Yes.
Nicodemus. Way to go, JJ. Come through with the Bible answer there. Yeah, Nicodemus. Yeah. What was the context there, Amy?
Well, he was just having a private conversation with Nicodemus, wanting him to know that it was more than just being born, you know, as we all are, but to be born again. to come to know him.
Amen.
It's one of the most precious scenes in The Chosen that I've watched. I just love that scene.
Amen. Hey, I want to piggyback on what Amy just said, because we got a lot of people listening, maybe truckers, somebody hit seek or scan, and you say, you stop somebody on the street corner, hey, you know, where are you going to go after you die? Are you going to go to heaven? They go, well, I hope so. Mm-hmm. You know, I hope my good outweighs my bad.
Right.
Or, you know, my granddad was a preacher. There's all kind of answers. And people go, I feel like I'm pretty religious. Really, none of those are the right answer. The Bible says, Jesus said, except a man is born again, he will not go to heaven. You're born the first time, like Amy said, we all were.
Right.
But it's something that happens supernatural. The only way for that to happen is for us to realize our need for God, repent of our sins, and receive Jesus Christ into our hearts and life by faith. Mm-hmm. And then he does a supernatural work in your life, and you are born again, like Jesus said. Amen. So I hope you listening, I hope you have that settled. It's the most important decision you'll ever make.
Thank you, Amy. Amen. You have a good day. Appreciate it. Listen, I'm going to give the answer to my question.
Keep it alive for a while. Somebody may know that, Tim. Your math question?
I don't have as much confidence in our listeners as you do.
But what about voters?
I did not mean that.
Well, let's talk.
It sounded, well, that look, sounded,
because I'll confess, I didn't know either.
No, let's talk midterms. How much confidence do you have in the voters? If you've given up on the American public, what about our voters? Well, how do you feel about that?
The American voter? We don't have time. We don't. I'll get back to that later.
It's Friday.
All right. So
leave it laying on the table. Just till right after the top of the hour.
Okay.
Somebody out there.
Who's next,
know
Tony?
That.
Who's up next, Tony?
Next we have Jamie in Ohio.
Ohio.
O-H-I-O. That's it.
Jamie, how you doing, brother?
Oh, good morning, you gregarious gentlemen.
Thank you, Jamie. Yes.
We appreciate that, Jamie. We don't get that a lot.
No.
Where in Ohio do you where do you reside?
I am as close to Pittsburgh as you can get in Ohio from Steubenville, home of Dean Martin.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And you're in NFL. The spotlight's on you guys.
Last night, they had today too, the draft.
Right.
Is in the
Pittsburgh. For anyone who's ever driven in Pittsburgh, you could not pay me enough money to go into that city right now.
Yeah,
it does get.
I'll tell you though, a very I've done this twice, but that drive from I don't know, it's a eastern part of Ohio. I drove from Canton down to Pittsburgh, and you cross that bridge. It's a beautiful scene. You know that.
Yeah, it's the only city with an entrance, they like to say.
Yeah, it's really pretty. The three.
Need more rivers.
It was in the fall and leaves were changing. Okay. They have the three rivers converge there in Pittsburgh? But what Jamie's saying, if you go into the actual Pittsburgh, then you know, it's a typical big city.
Yeah, especially you go through the Fort Pitt Tunnel, and you're just out in the country for a minute.
Yeah.
And then you go through the tunnel, and it opens up, and all of a sudden you see all the skyscrapers and everything, and you say, welcome to Pittsburgh.
I got you. All right, Jamie, ask, answer, or both, my friend?
Well, you know, especially since I heard you almost giving up hope on Tim's question there.
Yeah.
I suppose I'll take that one.
There you go.
Okay, here we go.
All right, here we go. You paying attention, Jamie?
Yeah, I've been.
Okay, here we go. A 10-foot rope ladder hangs over the side of a boat with the bottom rung on the surface of the water. The rungs are 1 foot apart, and the tide goes up at the rate of 6 inches per hour. How long will it be until the three rungs are covered?
Well, as long as you're not making it too tricksy of a tricksy question on defining the word at, I would say 4 hours.
Okay. At this point in this program, I'm going to give the answer to this question because
as long as really somebody tried.
It's really eating away at your conscience, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I tried this on my wife last night, and she said, and then she said, well, go ahead and use it. So the answer to the question is never.
It's a trick question.
The boat rises as the tide goes up. Does that make any sense at all to anybody out
there? It does.
It does. Now it does.
Now it
does. I'm sorry to do that to you.
After you give the answer, it does, you know, make sense.
Sorry to do that. Does that a 10-foot rope. I'll say all that again.
Yeah.
But it doesn't change the fact that the boat rises as the tide goes up, so it never changes.
Yeah.
So I will.
And then don't feel bad. We had the best AIs here at AFA calculating this in the back. I never got it.
Never
so
got
it. Don't.
Jamie, sorry to do that to you, but you made a good effort there. So do you want to try another one?
Oh no, that's fine. Okay. I got two young kids. I'm comfortable with being tricked.
That's funny.
Very good, Jamie. You're good.
That's funny. I'm gonna give you a T-shirt for that joke.
Exactly. Oh, good. That
was for the effort. He was the one who tried it. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Put himself out there.
So hang on, Jamie. We're gonna get your address, and we're gonna send you.
Does he have a question for us?
Size. Yeah, go ahead, Jamie. Your question for us.
Yeah, sure thing. And, you know, I've had since October 19th of 2024 to think about this question, because that was the last time I called in.
Hey, let me stop you right there.
Your last words.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's how important Trivia Friday is to people's routine and schedule.
Right.
Yeah. He can remember. Say what you just said again. I mean, people, I travel a lot. People say, that is the highlight of my Friday here in Learning University.
Learning University.
When was the last time you called in?
October 2024.
It was October 19th of 2024, the day before my 10th annual pumpkin carving and soup party.
Ah, oh, there you go.
See, tie
about
those two events
that was
together.
About 2 years removed from COVID. If I remember right. Am I right?
Yeah, I was at the store buying pumpkins for the pumpkin party.
Yeah.
And so I remember that I was on hold going through the store and just didn't quite make it.
Yep. All right, Jamie, we're ready. Bring it.
All right, so I'm so kind that I'll give you an option. Here, would you like history, geography, or biology?
Let's go geography.
Oh, you're never going to get that one, though. That's the hardest one.
You know what, Jamie? We didn't. We're treating you with respect.
It's good. I wouldn't have even said it after him trying to answer your question.
You hear
I would
that?
Have just said, you know what?
That?
You're going to get geography.
You hear that oversized
you're
glove come off and hit the ground? That's called a gauntlet. He just
this is one of those. You tell me I can't do it.
Hey, look. I thought Jamie's question was going to be, if I've called in every Friday since October 19th of 2024, how many Fridays have I called in?
That was a birthday. Dave would have got that one.
Go ahead, Jamie. Fire away with your geography question that we don't have a chance at.
All right. Well, this was a Final Jeopardy question at some point, and it's locally relevant here. So what is the only city in the United States that touches two different states on both sides?
The only city in the U.S. that touches what now?
Two different states. One different state on each side.
All right, give us...
it's located in...
Go ahead. No, go ahead. I'll take that. Give me that hint.
Yeah, well, the city is located in one state, and it touches one state on the east and one state on the west within its municipal boundaries.
All right, guys.
Give us 30 seconds to a minute here. Go ahead.
You know, there's all kind of things where you got Canada hanging down in there lower than some of the states, so kind of think up there around Pittsburgh.
It's a U.S. city. Right? It's a U.S. city,
yes,
right?
It's going to be up around Pittsburgh because he said it's a local thing.
Listen, you're just talking about one U.S. city that bleeds over to two states. Is that what you're saying?
It's located in one state, but its eastern boundary and western boundary touch two other states. So it's in one state, and then two separate other states are touching it on its boundaries.
Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Kansas. I was thinking of that.
Yeah, that's probably okay.
But you got Texarkana, a bunch of those things that do something similar. But I think he said it's up there near him, so we got to shift our focus up around Pittsburgh.
Jamie, real quick, and then we'll try to come up with an answer. So this is three, and essentially it's touching three separate states. Three different states, right? It's in a state, and then it's touching two other states. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, a city that touches three states.
I've heard this before.
It's kind of over in three states.
Geography is not my strong suit, so you...
I'm going to go with the Emerald City. You know, like from the Wizard of Oz. Because Jamie's trying to...
My geography.
I don't know, Jamie. I'm thinking. I was going to say Detroit, but they don't bleed over into. Anyway.
All right. You're going to learn something. What's the answer?
Funny. Funny, the Emerald City is Toronto, Ohio, which is just a little bit north of us, but it is Weirton, West Virginia, located in the northern West Virginian panhandle, and it covers that entire panhandle, which is only 5 miles wide, and so it touches Ohio here by Steubenville on the west and Pennsylvania in the east. Hence, I had a three-state commute when I used to work up by the airport, starting in Ohio, driving through West Virginia and into Pennsylvania.
That was fun when you told people that, like at a little dinner party. I go through three states every day to go to work and to come back, and they're like, no way.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the poor sheriff.
Yeah, like people in Texas can't imagine that, you know.
Sheriff's department. Hey, I got to stop. Whoa, we stopped. Go. Stop. Hey, no, you can get noise out of mine.
He's on the phone with the other. Yeah, right. The other.
Now, all right. Hey, look, we've beat this dead horse. Yeah. But
thank you, Jamie.
I've always wondered about the logistical nightmare, Texarkana, Bristol,
Kansas City.
Missouri. And you're like your main street, and you've got Texas on one side and Arkansas on the other. If one of their car tags are $5 cheaper or milk or bread, how do you sort all that out? And you say, I live in Arkansas, but I work in Texas. That poor accountant. I don't know how you do all that.
Oh, I know.
You know, their prices have to be consistent, or people will go, I'm going to move 10 yards away so I can get, lower property taxes, whatever.
That one I always wondered about is the time zone. People who live on the time zone line, like Alabama, Georgia.
We did that, Kentucky and Indiana, and I would drive to work when we had a big construction job in Indiana, and I would get there before I left.
All right.
And I wasn't driving.
You somehow end up late.
I wasn't.
No, sir, now listen, I left an hour early. Well, hey, look, not my fault.
And I wasn't in a DeLorean. I want to just throw that out there.
Let's go to Jason in Oklahoma. How you doing, Jason?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for calling. Where do you live in Oklahoma?
I live in Norman, Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
Norman.
Good area.
Home of the Sooners.
Heck yeah. Yes,
the Boomer Sooners.
I was born in Dallas, though, so God really messed with my pride.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're torn.
Give it about three more years, and Dallas will be in Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's going to be called Texahoma.
That's state not of Texahoma. Far from the truth.
They're coming for you. I tell you that.
Yeah.
Huh? That's a funny line right there. That's good. Hey, answer, or do both.
Yeah.
Jason.
I'll do both. I was wanting to do the one that Tim gave, but I would have got it wrong, so I wouldn't have got that T-shirt. I would have went with 6 hours on the water.
The last caller went with 6 hours, too, but...
I thought he did four.
Yeah, he did do four.
He did do four.
Oh, and you did six. Hey, Jason, which one you feel confident about? America's listening.
Throw it out there. Just pick one for me, and I'll see.
Okay, which sweetest word is used to describe a big spread of food?
Oh, hen. Swedish hen.
What?
I have no idea.
What did you say?
Swedish hen.
Where did that come from?
He's just grasping at a straw.
No, he's grasping at anything.
Swedish.
Yeah, that's another Swedish.
That's about all I know.
That's another Swedish.
So he misunderstood the question. What's the Swedish word to use to describe a big meal, not a specific dish? So it's used to describe a big meal with a bunch of dishes.
I didn't misunderstand it. I just gave that bad of a guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's confessing.
Yeah.
Well,
Jay, hey, what's your question?
You tried to help him.
What's your question for us, Jason?
So my question, you can use the internet too, because it's always right. So I live in Norman, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And I go to Wildwood Community Church. And I'm interested in knowing how many senior pastors have been at Wildwood and over there in their over 50 years of existence.
I'm going to say three. Two. No, I'm going to change my answer. Two. Two senior pastors.
Two? Nope.
I'll say one.
How many?
I say one.
It's going to be one.
Okay, I got one, two, or three. Which one do you want?
I'm going to say one. I'm going to follow Tony's lead. One senior pastor all those years.
You should have went with two.
Ah.
Pastor Bruce Hess and Pastor Mark Robinson now.
That's okay. Pretty remarkable.
It is.
That's faithfulness and tenacity and people loving integrity. Their pastor.
That's hey, you know what? That's telling the deacons who's boss right there.
Hey,
you know what I'm saying?
Make sure you're in church this weekend. If you've been out of church, go this weekend.
Right.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.